Welcome, everyone. Melinda Zarate with Emboldened Heart. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today for this special event and this very special interview. I want to thank anyone who is here today for the first time listening to Emboldened Heart and just extend a warm welcome to you. Emboldened Heart is an online global training academy that was formed about 4 years ago for the purpose of encouraging heart-based living and personal transformation. And that is indeed what we will be experiencing today with our very special guest who is here with us for the very first time. I am so honored and excited to have with us today Lev Natan. Hi, Lev. Welcome.
Hi, thank you, Melinda. It's wonderful to be here. Welcome to everyone. Thank you.
I have been really looking forward to this interview with Lev. I've been following his work for some time, and I'm on his list of people who receives his blog. And all of you know this because I actually, all of you who are part of the Emboldened Heart listening community, you know this because I forwarded you an email that Lev sent the day after the recent presidential, U.S. presidential election that was so poignant and so very succinctly and perfectly expressed what I was feeling and what so many of you were feeling that I just thought, I've got to have him on. He has to be a guest speaker. So I was so delighted, Lev, when you and I chatted and exchanged communication and you agreed to come on. I think, listeners, you were really in for a treat today, and you're going to experience something very special and important. So before we begin really diving into the meat of Lev's work, I want to just take a moment to share with you all a little bit of information about Lev. He has a really special work that he does. He is the founder of The Medicine Tree, which is an organization that was set up to work with social impact entrepreneurs, healing practitioners, and organizational leaders, as well as all other types of business people who are looking to create more effective, meaningful, and lucrative ways of bringing their special mission to reality and to live it. And Lev is committed to guiding our world toward a future that is wise, courageous, aligned with principles and values that are humane, that have integrity, and that hold life and nature as sacred. Lev is also the author of the forthcoming book, Return of the Medicine Trees, A Vision of Sound Leadership for Global Healing. He's a certified integrative sound and music practitioner, and he is an empowerment life coach through the Empowerment Institute, doing some really important work, and we are so fortunate to have him with us today. Gosh, Lev, I am excited. I've got some questions, and I'm going to ask, this is always so helpful, I'm going to ask if you'd be kind enough to kind of share your story with us. What led you to do this incredibly important and beautiful work that you're now doing?
Yeah, hi, Melinda, and it's really wonderful to be here. Thank you so much. It was really a privilege. You know, it really touched my heart when you wrote back and invited me to the show. And I want to say hello to each and every one of you that's listening right now or to the recording later, just you know, from my heart to yours. Just want to feel connected in that way. And so help me, you know, be succinct in telling my story, because just like all of us, our stories are so many strands that come together to weave that rope of our life. And, you know, all the way up to this point a few weeks ago of writing that email. And I would like to just share, you know, that was the day, the morning after the election. I was making breakfast, and my wife just went to work, and I was, she left the house, and I was like, what am I doing right now? You know, what am I going to do today? And I had this instinct to call my mother and say, like, how are you doing? You know, are you okay? And then that instinct quite quickly turned to, how is everyone doing that I know and people that I don't know? And so then I just sat down and I wrote that email of asking how's everyone doing and how can we, you know, stay focused and connected to our hearts even through all the emotions and feeling them and, you know, and then feeling the deeper connection to, you know, I guess what we're going to discuss today, from a greater vision of our world, for the sake of that vision, we can still stay connected to it.
Absolutely.
So I guess when I was growing up, I always had the sense of, you know, what's going on here in the world? You know, having that question, like driving to school, getting driven to school and looking around and seeing all these cars and all these people and asking, like, where's everyone going? Like, what's this all about? And then those kind of that curiosity opened me to questions around oppression and why basically do we treat each other the way that we do? In not so nice ways, to say the least, as human beings. And then that led me deeper and deeper into, you know, the history of, imperialism and colonialism and the patriarchy and really understanding or traveling that pathway of understanding and, you know, continue to not understand and have it be a mystery to me. But I continue to ask those kinds of questions, is, you know, why do we treat each other the way that we do and where are we going? How are we heading towards something that's more beautiful and harmonious in terms of how we live together as human beings and then with our earth? And then those kinds of questions led me to all different kinds of paths. I traveled in college on a trip called Rethinking Globalization, and we went to England, Tanzania, India, New Zealand, and Mexico, and we were living with farmers and indigenous people and hearing from activists and community organizers and politicians and very inspiring people who were really at the forefront of what I feel is real innovative and positive change initiatives. And so that really opened my eyes, that trip, you know, about 12, 15 years ago. And it's really since then that that really set the tone for the last 10, 15 years. And after college, I was working in addiction treatment, and also simultaneously getting very involved in traditional healing and learning about shamanism and native wisdom teachings. And that helped me to connect with the understanding of the earth having a real relationship with the earth. And so really from there, from that work, that personal work of, you know, working with people in addiction and then having this nature-based healing perspective, that helped me to move into coaching and an empowering perspective and wanting to work with people who really are committed to healing humanity and healing the earth. From, you know, moving in their lives from that place and then expressing in whatever domain that they express in through, you know, social impact, entrepreneurship through their business, you know, products and services, healing practices, and, you know, community organizations, faith-based nonprofit organizations, and wanting to work with people who are really innovating and are holding this bigger vision of global healing and applying it in their personal vision and their professional vision for their patch of the planet, so to speak, how their work intertwines with the larger process of in a sense, maturation of our planet as a whole.
Thank you. Yeah, there's oh goodness, there's so much right now that is going on that is really confusing. It's somewhat overwhelming. There are personal issues that people are facing, their community, family issues, community issues, global issues, cultural issues. There's a lot. It's a complicated fabric right now of our experience of life. And I think so many of us are longing for, looking for, and trying to really begin to bring into our experience more balance, more of a sense that we're really making a contribution rather than just taking and just doing. We want more connection, don't we, Lev?
Yeah. Connection is really a key word, I would say. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned vision, which right now I think is enormously important, kind of in the face of what, as we look out and look around us, what may look kind of glum in some respects, or really difficult or troublesome. Mm-hmm. Vision is so important right now. So how do we, each and every one of us, hold a vision of global healing at this time where we see all this crisis in major sectors of society and even with the fundamental life supports of the earth? How do we know that everything is actually going to be all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really been a question that I've been meditating on, or that's been what's been driving me for a number of years, really in a selfish way, because for me, for whatever reason, that's the question that's like, what's the point? Unless I have a sense that where we're headed as a planet is somewhere benevolent, unless I can connect with that perspective, then it's hard for me to then motivate myself in my own life.
Agreed.
The way that I'm made up. That's the way I'm made up. Like, I need that context. I need to find that context. And so, I've been hunting it, in a sense, tracking it, like the footprints of that kind of perspective for a number of years. And especially in times of struggle in my own life, when I don't quite know what I'm doing, or, at different times when my business has been in, dips and in more challenging places, and that's even more so when a visionary perspective is vital for me to continue, to engage from that mission-oriented and vision-oriented perspective.
Right.
What is a vision? How do we, what have I found, in a sense, is over the years that I've been connecting with this, is that there's really an incredible consensus among our ancestors, actually, among our ancestors around the world, that we're in an incredible time of transformation right now.
It's palpable, isn't it?
We know it. We can feel it. But if we're just looking at what's in front of us and what's in the newspapers, and looking at the last 10 years and the next, 10 years or the next 20, 30 years, it's like, whoa, we're headed for an iceberg, the ship's going down, if we're just looking at what's in front of us. Right. And so
right.
For me,
yeah.
that's why we need it. It's so important to have this connection to our deep memory from our family, our relatives, our ancestors, in a sense, from all the cultures around the world. There's so many cultures, and really I refer to the work of José Argüelles, and I refer to him in my forthcoming book. I refer to his work. His last book was called Manifesto of the Nuosphere, and he talks about in his talks, his YouTube and different conversations that he initiates, he's talking about what I'm sharing, that many wisdom traditions and cultures from around the world are all pointing at this time. He was very popularized the 2012 focal point, but it's not just about that date. It's about this period of change that we're in, and we're going through a planetary rite of passage, and you can see it in terms. A very powerful metaphor for me is moving from the caterpillar and dissolving into the cocoon. The caterpillar dissolves into the cocoon and moves into really a chaotic state where it's not in the form that it understands that itself to be. Right? The caterpillar loses its identity.
Yeah, it just completely dissolves and turns into a different substance, a completely different substance. It's amazing.
Yeah, and then exactly. And then from that mush, that gelatinous soup, a new structure emerges that is beautiful, and is moving from the taker, the caterpillar that's consuming everything, to this incredible butterfly that's pollinating and creating beauty in the world. And so that's a really helpful metaphor for me. But the process
is
a rite of passage. It's a rite of passage. Mm-hmm. And what defines a rite of passage is a death and a rebirth experience. And so it's a cycle of over and over again experiencing that, letting go of our sense of self, our identity, and then emerging into a larger place of identity. And so that's something that we're doing globally as a human family, and as a human family that is an organ, an intricate organ of the earth itself. If we see ourselves, the earth and humanity, as one integrated organism, that we are the thinking layer of the earth, the thinking organ of the earth, then all of us together, the earth and humanity, are going through this process. We're maturing through, in a sense, a developmental stage you could say adolescence into adulthood as a humanity. And so then each one of us, in a sense, holographically, individually, is going through our own journey of human development, of our consciousness, and upgrading our internal operating systems so that we can respond effectively to this rapid increase of complexity that is unfolding. So we need to be developing this internal operating system in a way that is matching and meeting the complexity that we see and experience around us. And for me, that's possible through that capacity to step back and say, wait a minute, something bigger is going on here. And to continually do that,
sure.
You know, I have to continually do that practice. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah, we all do. There is just, there's so much change. It feels like this is all really so accelerated, and there's an excitement about it, but there's also trepidation, some anxiety, confusion. I know I've shared with a number of people that I just have sort of, oh gosh, lately, in fact, kind of since the election, I walk around kind of feeling like a Picasso painting so much of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
And I have
yeah.
to
yeah.
constantly sort of bring myself back to center and just say, wait a minute, there is a larger vision here. There is something much bigger at play here, and I'm a part of it. And so
yeah.
that helps center me and kind of get me back into a place where, you know, it doesn't feel as chaotic. But it's helpful, I think, for us to acknowledge that that's what's going on. And to express this to each other,
mm-hmm.
to ourselves first, and to each other, so that we can all
mm-hmm.
kind of go, oh, okay, there's a connection. We understand. We're kind of all moving through this metamorphosis together. And you know, we're in the gunk of it sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and then other times
yeah.
we're, you know, feeling the definition of the change and the possibilities. So, yeah, it's a really interesting time. And it's a time when we really need people who have vision and people who are called to sort of step into a role as a guide, a coach, a leader. And Lev, I love the way that you so gently but powerfully kind of move us into understanding how important it is for each one of us to step up. You know, and we want to. There's a part of us in our soul and our spirit that we want to. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I wanted to share while you were talking, it's important for me in my process of life, of growth, and moving through my journey to see that, like, the micro and the macro, as, you know, as above, so below, that there's a connection
mm-hmm.
to my own experience of when I go through a healing process and you know, feel all of my mishigas, my shadows, come up and you know, my inner demons and I have to, you know, go through the challenges in my life of, you know, feeling hopeless and, you know, despair and, you know, not like you know, I can't do it. I don't know what to do either. Like you're saying,
mm-hmm.
those experiences are actually very helpful to then see, to look out and see, like, that just as an individual, I have, you know, this shadow side, these wounds that are inside of me, and if I'm connected to them and I explore and I'm curious about, you know, where they come from and you know, really there's a gift, there's a jewel, you know, that's Michael Mead and also Joseph Campbell always, they talk about the gift is in the wound, right?
Absolutely.
It's, that's the wound. The wound is the portal, it's the doorway. And it's so counterintuitive because it's so hard when to experience our wounded
right.
our wounded self, you know. But we go through,
yeah.
and there's something, there's a new place of consciousness. So in the same way, culturally, so societally, right, globally, you know, right now we look at Donald Trump being elected as president. We look at Standing Rock and what's our country is doing to Native people right now and to the earth, such disrespect, to say the least.
Yes.
And this is a cultural shadow that's emerging into, you know, plain sight. You know, my wife's been saying it's like popping a pimple, right? The pus starts oozing out, and it's really nasty, but you know, it's out. You know, the cat's out of the bag, so to speak. And so, if we think about it in that context, you know, there is a process of what I've heard is really the apocalypse. You know, the true meaning of the apocalypse is the unveiling. It's an unveiling of what's behind the veil. You know, like what's, you know, it's an enlightening process. So really the times that we're living in are, you know, taking what's hidden and exposing it, you know, within ourselves individually and then culturally and societally, you know, bringing everything out into the open so it can be brought into alignment and integrity over time. And that both individually, personally, and planetarily, there's a, in order to do that, we need to be vulnerable as individuals and as a culture. And we need to, you know, humble ourselves and say, oh, wow, in order to grow, I need to realize that I was being unconsciously incompetent. And then that's the step in our learning to then becoming conscious that we're incompetent, and then moving into conscious competence, and then conscious, and then unconscious competence when we're just in flow and we're that's the place of mastery. That's that journey of developing our awareness and you know, humbling ourselves in our learning.
Exactly, and that's, I think, one of the things that I think is so important for each of us is we all need sometimes someone or a group of people to kind of help us maneuver our way out of our dark places, our dark nights of the soul, our difficulties in life, even though, you know, we traverse that inner landscape alone. It's so helpful to have that help from other people. And it for me, it's always so beautiful when someone who is a coach or a guide or has decided to take a leadership role, where they're willing to say, look, I have those demons in me too. I've got those dark places, and let's walk through this. You know, let's walk through this dark path and shed some light on it so that we can regain that consciousness and awareness and have that light be shining where those dark places have taken hold of us. And I know that you've done a lot of studying and have a lot of inspiration from different people, and I'd like to maybe ask, it's always, I think, interesting and really helpful to ask, who were some of your kind of greatest teachers, or who are just a few of those that you are feeling most inspired by, who've influenced your work?
Well, the core writers and thinkers that really are shaping what I'm writing about in my book that I'm writing right now and should be done pretty soon are Thomas Berry, Jose Argüelles, Ken Carey, Michael Mead, and Joseph Campbell to some extent, his awareness of the hero's journey. Thomas Berry, his focus on the earth, and that really our human relationship with the earth is the primary focal point in our world today, that we are currently living within an industrial mythology, this idea that
I love that
industrial Yeah. That the idea that progress, our industrial progress, is literally our salvation. And that's been what has been running our, quote, internal operating system for the last 500 years, really, is this industrial project. And it has actually turned, what he says, we've been trying to create a wonder world, and we've actually created a waste world. Through this mythology.
Incredible.
And this mythology, you know, it's a psychic, it's a psychic vision, really, that has compelled our whole culture to the place that we're in. And the task of our time is to really emerge into this ecological mythology where we, all of the nations of the world, you know, he has an incredible statement about the issue is not nation among, nation versus nation. You know, can we get along as countries? Yes, that's an issue. But underneath that, it's really can the earth deal with us? You know, and can we learn as a whole planet of humans to shift the way that we relate to the earth? And in that focus, we come together, and as a byproduct, we create harmony because we have
that's beautiful.
Because there's one mind and one heart around. Wait a minute, we have to change our relationship with the earth, and in that shift, in that reconnection, that word connection, you know, by reconnecting with the earth, you know, on a very practical level, you know, the energy systems and recycling and you know, all of the on the practical levels of those industries and economies that are shifting and some are not, and we need to continue to push in that direction, and then also in our personal lives too, in our inner sense of connection with the earth, you know, that all needs to shift. And it really takes a psychic, what I mean by that is like a in our psyche, our inner heart drive. You know, what is the purpose of life? You know, that energy, as culturally as a whole humanity. You know, we've been moving towards this industrial project, and we need to shift and really feel the creative impulse towards harmonious existence with the earth. So that's Thomas Berry's work.
Beautiful. And absolutely, absolutely on target. It's so obvious. It is just, it's past time. And so now each one of us is kind of being called to really look at this and rethink how we personally are interacting with the earth and how we can contribute to healing her and to change maybe the way we're doing things and start with ourselves, and then it ripples out from there. Listeners, if you have any questions, go ahead and feel free to pop them into the Q&A section of the webcast. And also, for those of you who are listening by phone and would like to ask questions, I want to just encourage you to go ahead and just hit star 2 to raise your hand and let us know that you'd like to ask a question or maybe work with Lev. We will, I think, have some time to allow him to work with some individuals. So, there's just so much ground we can cover here. And I really agree so wholeheartedly with your comment about kind of cultivating this on a personal level first. Self-awareness is kind of where it has to start, isn't it, Lev?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So can you share with us maybe a little more about that, expand on that, so that we can really begin to kind of visit this within ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of like really engaging this calling, you know, as individuals, and then as individuals that are nested in families and communities and organizations, businesses and organizations, we're followers and we're also leaders. You know, just by the fact that we're here, we have that potential, or we are, and it's either we're activating it or not. And I feel that we're in this time right now where, in a sense, you know, those of us who really feel that care in our hearts, just a simple childlike care for life to continue, are being activated. Like the earth is actually rising up in our bodies, in our blood, in our hearts, and saying, "Hey, you know, I that's what wrote that email that I wrote that email after the election. It was that energy of, wait a minute, what am I need to connect. I need to do something." And so there's a process, I would say, of like you said, self-awareness and development, really adult development, that correlates to our ability to be effective in our leadership roles. And really, leadership is a holistic term. You know, I would say in our families, communities, and in our professional lives.
That's right.
You know, if we map adult development alongside leadership, we're talking about the development of our internal operating systems. And the more that we develop the way that we're thinking about things and our perspectives, the more we're able to, you know, engage more complex issues and be more creative. And this model that I'm working with is from the book Mastering Leadership. And in that book, they talk about moving from when we're children, an egocentric perspective where, like, it's just my needs that I'm even aware of. You know, I need to be focused on my needs, and that's a natural place to start as babies, right? And as children, our needs are not only most important, right? They're not only most important, but that's really all we are aware of. But if, you know, we can see where that takes us if we don't evolve beyond that as adults, and that's really where the dominant culture is in terms of our energy systems. We're taking so much, you know, drilling into the earth that it's you know, we're at the brink of not being able to replenish the resources, right? So that's the egocentric mindset, you know, taken to the extreme and not ever evolved out of. So we start there, and then we move into the reactive mind, which is also a natural developmental stage. And that's like the socialized mind, when we're aware that we're part of a society and we have to fit in and we have to, you know, respond to the things that are around us. You know, it's important to work well with others. And that place of the reactive mind is we're actually reacting to problems. You know, there's things that we need to deal with and handle in our lives, and so there's a problem and we need to solve it. And, you know, it's an important stage of development. But then when we get into leadership roles, it becomes a liability, because the leadership that's required really at this stage of the development of, you know, the world right now and what's happening around us is at least the creative mind. And the creative mind is vision-oriented. So, you know, while the reactive mind is focused on problems and maintaining a sense of safety, you know, it's like the most important thing is, am I safe? The creative mind is saying the most important thing is moving towards a vision that I am willing to risk something for. It's so important that I'm willing to risk something. And I'm willing to deal with and learn how to manage the emotions that come up of fear and anxiety and all the things that that are challenging, I'm willing to learn how to manage those skills. I'm willing to develop that emotional intelligence in order to be committed to a vision that I care deeply about. And so that's the creative mind. And then we can evolve be even into the integral and unitive mind when where vision is what's primary, but then we're able to also hold, you know, the complexity of other people's vision and how can we integrate and weave those visions together and still see it in a, you know, one sense of a whole. So there's that process of growth and development. And so the question is, like, how do we do that? You know, how do we go on this journey? And you know, like you said, self-awareness, like, where am I now? And where's, you know, I think I look at myself and I see sometimes I am in the egocentric, you know, place.
We all are.
And, right? Sometimes I'm in reactive and sometimes I'm in creative and integrative and unitive. Mm-hmm. But where's my center of gravity and where am I in my moments of consciousness? Where am I choosing to engage? And so as much as I can, I'm choosing to engage my vision of my personal work in the world and then the global vision that I have for healing. So that's the self-awareness piece. And then there are, you know, the practices that I do. You know, you mentioned sound, working with sound and sound healing, mm-hmm. and using sound and music as a vehicle for connecting me on a daily basis with my vision. So that's what I use is sound, and the coaching is really about cultivating vision and supporting people through follow through, you know, on their vision, and then engaging in sound practices on a regular basis.
Nice.
If we have a little bit of time, we could go into that.
I'd love to. I think the listeners would love that if we could. I'm fascinated with sound, the healing effects of sound, and just the frequencies of sound and how they can be used as a catalyst for us. So yes, if we could do something, that'd be great. I'll let you take mm-hmm. the lead right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, there's so much to say about sound, and all my mind's like, how do I introduce this? But I think the most important thing is to just go into the experience of it in this context with the time frame that we have and experience it, because the experience is, you know, it's like a picture is worth a thousand words. It's the same kind of thing. So this is a very simple practice, and hopefully you're not moving and you're able to be fully present. And if you are, I invite you to close your eyes. And if you are driving or multitasking, moving around, you know, you don't have to close your eyes, but you can still participate. And so closing the eyes, and let's take three deep breaths together, inhaling and exhaling. Inhaling and exhaling. Inhaling and exhaling. And on the next inhale, I invite you to pucker your lips, purse your lips, like you're sucking from a straw, and exhaling a humming sound. And let's try that again. Inhaling, exhaling a humming sound. And one more time, and feeling the vibration move through your head and noticing your shoulders and different parts of your body and how the simple vibration that you're creating impacts your whole body. And just staying with that vibration in your body, in that quietness, that simple practice, 3 conscious breaths and 3 breaths of humming. And we're going to do one more practice with sound. But I'm going to introduce now the vision into the sound, because sound is a vehicle for catalyzing our connection, our imagination with our vision. So picture the earth and all of humanity, and imagine this unified field of blue light surrounding the earth like a healing vibrational skin, connecting us from heart to heart all around the earth, and then penetrating through the whole earth all the way to the heart, the center of the earth. And feel and see this blue light sound vibration shimmering like a tropical ocean, emanating harmony and melody, and unifying our mindset. And I invite you to move beyond the resistance of we're all polarized, we're all separate, and insert this vision into our human family's selection of what's possible, that we are one human family living here with the earth as our home. And so seeing that vision, whatever it looks like to you in your mind's eye, and we're going to do 3 more breaths now with the ah sound, opening the mouth and focusing on your heart and just going ah, letting the air go. We're not singing, we're just allowing the sound to come out of our breath and out of our heart. And, of course, out of our throats as well, in our mouths. Inhaling. Inhaling. And then closing this experience, focusing in on your heart and releasing this vision as a intention or a prayer that, or a healing that you have just done, that we have just all done together for the earth, for our individual and collective psyche, our minds, in our emotional nervous systems. That's what we just inserted into this field of awareness. And so you can notice from this place, what would it be like, or what's possible as you move into the rest of your day, looking at your practical life. And that's the whole idea, is when we start from this context of vision, embodied vision, how does that change our perspective of how we engage with our families, with our businesses and organizations that we are a part of, and with our communities. You can just think about that, and maybe you can, you're welcome.
Wow, that was very nice. It never ceases to amaze me how much it changes the way I feel just using sound vibration. It's really remarkable. It's so simple, and yet it's so powerful and effective. And I would just encourage all of you to remember that you have that ability, that tool that you can always call upon, is to use the sound of your own voice vibrating within your own being to open you up, to energize you, to inspire you, to heal you. So thanks, Lev. So listeners, just sit with that for a moment. That sensation, that experience that we all just had the pleasure of going through, and just feel that, and let that kind of percolate through you, through your entire being. And I just knew this was going to go by really fast. It's meaty. There's a lot of really rich things that we covered. But I want to take a few moments here and just focus on something that Lev has put together for all of us here at Emboldened Heart. It's a special offer. And this is a package of his work, which he's calling his Vision Creation Program. And this program's for you if you're an entrepreneur, a business builder, or a creative professional looking to increase your income through meaningful work. If you want to enhance your energy and vitality, strengthen your relationships with the people you care about the most, and deepen your spiritual path and life purpose. And this is designed to help you become crystal clear about what matters most and to learn to let go of what no longer is serving you. So Lev will help you learn to focus your time, your energy, and your money on intelligent and practical action that can transform your life and connect you more deeply to your meaningful work. You'll develop the power to adapt and change in the face of these many challenges and stress that we all face, as opposed to falling victim to it, to those limiting beliefs, that anxiety and overwhelm, or just that feeling that you have to play small in your life. So if you're struggling with the challenge of integrating the deeper meaning of your life into your work, this program may be the right next step for you. And it's a 5-week program where you're going to be invited to dream boldly and courageously, to speak your most inspiring vision for your life and meaningful work, and to go on a journey of personal growth and personal development, professional development, embodying the qualities of strength, faith, trust, confidence, focus, sincerity, curiosity, and a beginner's mind, not just talking about them, but experiencing them and moving into those aspects. And also, it will help you to find new possibilities and pathways to organize your work so that you're more clear-minded and focused, engaged, and so that you get the results that you really want and desire. And this is called Your Most Important Work, a Vision Creation Program. And it's actually the first 5 weeks of a larger program that Lev has developed that he calls the Sacred Business Program. So if you feel inspired and you want to take this step into the first 5 weeks, if you decide you want to continue on, you'll have that opportunity to do so, which is wonderful. I love it, Lev, that you're kind of letting people sort of put their toe in the water and see if it feels right. And then if they like it, they can just dive in and swim. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really cool program, and it's a visioning process that starts from the end, and that's your legacy. That's what do you want to leave behind after you're gone? And he brings you into the present, kind of timeline sort of work, it sounds like. And some of the things that will be covered are in week one, just coming face to face with your life purpose. Why am I here? And week two is what will you leave behind? A conscious look at your legacy. Week three is meet your future self and create your 20-year vision. Week four is the practical vision, which is the shorter, more immediate, 3 and 5 years. And then the now forward 12-month vision, where will you be next year? And this program is set up as weekly 90-minute recorded seminars. You'll also have a guidebook and an online Facebook community for support and connection, which is so important when people are moving through these kinds of self-study programs. It is a home study course, which allows you to work at your own pace. And again, each of the 5 seminars is about 90 minutes, and it will include about 30 minutes of writing exercises in your guidebook. So, Lev, a big question that people may ask is, how can I trust that I'll grow over the course of these 5 weeks? What if I get in my own way and I can't move forward? How would you respond to that?
Well, the way I would respond to that is, the way I approach it in my own life is step by step. And that's the whole idea of this program is, you know, we engage big questions by breaking them down and engaging them, in small steps. And when, as we develop that practice of getting into a rhythm of, you know, cultivating this step-by-step process, then we look back and we see, oh, actually, you know, the small step that we've taken has got me somewhere. You know, and even going through the places that I think will hold me back, and being gentle with ourselves, and acknowledging that part of ourselves, like we were talking about earlier, moving through, first engaging, having the courage, being in a supportive environment that encourages that engagement with the wounds that we have, the parts of us that might hold us back, and then gently finding a way to move through and having that the wounds be a doorway for the gifts.
Indeed. Thank you. So, listeners, this beautiful program that Lev has put together for us is offered at an amazing price. It's $111, and I assure you that this will be very well worth your investment of time and dollars, and Lev will be a very loving and astute guide to help you to really hone in on your vision and your meaningful work. And he's added a great bonus for the first 10 people that decide to purchase the program. Those people will receive a free 30-minute one-on-one Clarify Your Vision session with Lev to get crystal clear about your most important work. And this will include a vision for your meaningful work, as well as a plan to take practical action so you can see real results right away. He'll help you to identify your core pain, and we all have one or more than one, but one that is our primary. And identifying that is a great relief, because that way you know what the bugaboo is. You know what's getting in the way of you really growing your vision into reality. And love will help you just really to experience what it feels like to overcome your challenges and develop that essential confidence to grow into your vision, so that we can all salute and cheer you on, because that's what we need in this world right now, is people who are willing to just take that journey, that step into themselves, so that they can then step out of themselves and show us who they really are, and engage all of the rest of us, so that we can create the harmony and the balance in the beautiful world that we all envision. So take advantage of this awesome program. Is there anything you'd like to add, Lev? I'm a fan, so it's easy for me to kind of be sort of your cheerleader.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think I would just add that it's a really good time in the winter, moving into the new year, to do this kind of visioning work. Native cultures, in this winter time, there's a colleague and a teacher of mine, the H. Shields Institute, and John Young over there, they have a program in every winter. It's called Renewal of Creative Path, and it's really based on similar principles of nature-based cultures. And the winter time, it's that time of going inward and, huddling around the fire and telling stories and reconnecting with our vision, both individually and as a community, to find, what are those powerful stories in our personal lives, and then, in our the stories of our community, of our culture, that renew us. So it's a really good time to do this kind of work here in December and January. Just wanted to say that, I think.
For that reminder. It's very true. I agree. Wintertime is a good time for reflection and just visioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, so,
great.
Really,
well, we really blew through this hour, and again, I knew we probably would. I am just so delighted, Lev, that you were a part of Emboldened Heart today, and thank you so much for sharing your vision, your thoughts, your insights, and your beautiful work with us. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome so much. Yeah.
And thank you, listeners, for being with us today. And just know that that the package, there will be a replay email going out that does have the package link, so that it's just really easy to access. And that Lev's book will be forthcoming, and that you'll all definitely want to look for that. And I'm sure he will let us know when it's available, and I will be happy to help you promote it at that time, Lev.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I just want to say thank you to everyone, too. I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you for the work that you do, and getting up every morning and doing your best to bring light and beauty and creativity into the world. So thank you for doing your part. Appreciate it so much.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, everyone. Thanks for being here, and namaste. Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye, Lev. Thank you.
Okay, bye.